Well, good morning, church, and thank you for joining us this morning. Do you remember when you were a kid how your parents made you do things over and over and over again? When you were taught how to ride a bike, you didn't just jump on it and ride off into the sunset down the street without being completely unstable. There was a time period where you had to continually practice. When you were in school, you had to repeat tasks over and over and over again so that they became an actual habit. Now, I've been in the fire department for 20 years, and we repeat the same drills over and over again with our new recruits, and we've done it ourselves, so that they, or we, don't have to think about it. It just becomes a habit. It becomes second nature. It becomes right away. We do it. It's done. And in the firefighter's case, it's a life-saving habit that we teach. You see, reputation helps to improve speed, increases confidence, and it strengthens the connections in the brain that help us learn. Repetition is the mother of all learning, the father of action, which makes it the architect of accomplishment. That's Zig Ziglar. The thing is, if we want something to be a habit, we have to stick to it. If we don't, that habit will be lost, and the practice we want to be good at, or at least improve on, will never happen. When I read our verses today, I think about a running theme throughout this scripture, and the word that comes to mind is determination. Now let me read this for you. James chapter 3, verses 13 to 20. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This scripture speaks how we must continually do our part in praying, serving, and confessing to our brothers and sisters. Verses 13 and 15 give examples of specific needs in the community and how they can be met by those experiencing them. James gives us a contrast here between suffering and cheerfulness, showing us that there is always a proper response to life circumstances, whether they're good or they're bad. James shows us that we as believers can feel confident in the fact that our specific needs that we have can be met and can be dealt with. Now, sometimes in life, we categorize our issues and our circumstances on the back burner. We put them on the back burner as they're not important enough for God or for our community's concern. However, we serve a God who hears us when we pray and deals with each person's specific needs in the community of believers. Verse 16 and 18 begin the conversation on the effectiveness in prayer. That can be a question we all have. Is my prayer really getting through? But when we pray, we are utilizing the gift God gave us of an intimate communion with Him. And so whenever we pray, it is effective because we know that He hears us because He said that He hears us. We as Christians must become comfortable with vulnerability and accountability. James commands us to confess our trespasses to one another, as he says that in verse 16. And so admitting to doing wrong to our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as praying for each other, is a major goal of maintaining unity and love within the body of Christ, within the church. However, James also says that the fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, as we see in verse 16. So the example James gives us is that of Elijah, who prayed earnestly for the rainfall to stop and later to start, and got what he desired from the Lord. So this scripture in verse 15 is talking about the mutual confession that leads to mutual prayer for one another. The prayer of faith, as it says in verse 15, though, is not exclusively an entitlement of the office of a pastor or elder, but is a shared responsibility amongst everyone. And so the believers are to intercede for one another, both in the greatest matter of ministry, that confession that appropriates forgiveness, and is also the great matter of healing the sick and sickness. So this mutual intercession is a prime New Testament example of the evangelical doctrine of the priesthood of all believers. You may have heard of that. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. It says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Sometimes we don't realize the rewards or the consequences that come with the responsibilities that we have as Christians. One simple action on our part can change a person's life forever, whether it's a kind gesture, sharing wisdom, or praying with them through a hard situation. James says something similar in verses 19 and 20. He says, "My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins." You see, that person that brings back someone from wandering away from the truth has done a great thing for them. Specifically, they save that person from death by helping them come back to God and to his grace and his forgiveness and his truth. But bringing someone back to the Lord takes patience. It takes time. And if we're not right in our own heart, we may cause bringing them back to take even longer, or maybe not at all. And just like learning how to ride a bike, it's going to take time, it's going to take patience, it's going to take love, and it's going to take determination. You see, being a part of a community means that we're praying for each other, righting wrongs with each other, and doing the ministry together. We have come to a place in our society where instant gratification rules. And if we're not good at something, we quit. If we have to wait, we are impatient. Scripture, time and time again, says to wait on God and on what he is doing. And if he hasn't answered you right away, then he says, wait some more. The question is, what do we do while we are waiting? Well, the first thing we do is we grow. We need to get into the Word and learn more about God and what he's thinking and what he's asking. We need to serve. Luke 16:10 says, "If you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with the greater responsibility." And then thirdly, we appreciate. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. So this morning I want to do something that we need to do as a community, and scripture in 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, "Let a person examine himself, so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." In Corinth, communion with the Lord had become a thoughtless and even selfish church ritual. Their minds had clearly shifted from Christ's sacrifice and had focused on their own selfish things, their own selfish desires. We can't let that happen to us. We must stay mentally engaged when we participate in communion. We take communion to remind us of the high cost of God's forgiveness. Eating and drinking then symbolizes our union with Christ as our Savior and as a source of spiritual life. And so we should also take time to examine ourselves to ensure that our relationship with Christ is authentic and that it is genuine. Not only analyzing our own relationship with Christ, but also seeking to discover if there's any unconfessed sins that are hovering around with the fellowship of God, with him, 1 John 1:6-9. We don't want to bring a gift of reconciliation to God if we have not set something right with our brother or sister, or if they have something against us. It is our duty to see that we set that straight. And so in the verses that we read in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, Jesus says, if you realize someone has something against you, that is, if it's your fault, then go to them and settle it. But he addresses the other scenario in Matthew 18, 15, and he says, if your brother sins against you, that is, if it's their fault, then go to him. So whether we like it or not, when a relationship breaks down, regardless of whose fault it is, Jesus puts the burden on you and on me to initiate that reconciliation. And so lastly, it would be wrong for us to take these symbols of Christ without a heart that is purposely thankful. It's important to remember that the Lord's Supper is not only a reminder of his brutal death, but it is also a celebration of the incredible, generous grace of God and the privilege of being forgiven. So this morning, let's partake of the bread together, his broken body for us. Let's do that. And as we remember his blood that was shed for us, let's partake of the juice that symbolizes that. Let me pray. Father, thank you that you sent your son to die on the cross for us. Help us to recognize what the scripture has said this morning, that we are to reconcile ourselves with others, the onus is on us to go to each other and build the bridges of forgiveness. And I think about those that maybe have fallen away from the truth, from your truth, from your gospel. Help us to be an example that will be able to help bring those back to the truth and the forgiveness that only you can give. Let us not get in the way of that. Let us not be a hindrance to that forgiveness, and let us not be in the way of them in their journey to come back to you. So help us as we focus on what we need to do, and so that we can be that great example as we move here and fro about our business every day. So thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Hope you're having a great week, and we will see you next Sunday.